Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel reading for today, John 16, verses 12 to 22. I'll read again just the last two verses. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the text. In the name of Jesus, the source of all true joy, dear fellow redeemed. It's still Easter. Yes, it's the fifth Sunday of Easter, but the joy of Easter cannot be contained in a single day or a week. The message of Easter is so rich that we cannot get to the bottom of it in just a day or even a week or a month. Really, we are Easter people, every Sunday being a celebration of what happened on the first day of the week so long ago when Jesus rose again from the dead. And today we'd like to concentrate on this promise of Jesus to his disciples and to us that he gives us joy that no one can take away. What do we have to say about this joy? Well, let's dig in. One of the things that can rob Christians of joy is that there are so many unanswered questions in this life. But Jesus gives us a joy that comes from the Spirit of truth. We believe the Bible's promises that through Jesus we are the children of God and that all things work together for good. We certainly want to believe those promises, but we are still in the dark about so many things that it might become difficult to hang on to the promises. We have unanswered questions like, why do some people suffer with such terrible pain? Why is there so much trouble that comes to so many faithful people while it seems like many wicked people have smooth sailing? Why did this or that tragedy or loss happen in my life? Consider how Jesus dealt with his disciples. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Jesus knows that the disciples were not ready for all things at once. There are many things that they would not be able to understand until after his death and resurrection. It's a little bit like this. Suppose you were trapped in a dark cave and all the power was shut off. There were no cell phones, no batteries, no sources of light. In complete darkness, people would be unable to find their way out. And when someone finally did come to rescue them, they would want to bring in some kind of a soft light, something dim like a flashlight, not a blazing spotlight that would blind the people. So, in a thoughtful way, the Lord Jesus accommodates himself to the disciples and only gives them as much as they can handle. This night before he was crucified, he told them many things, but after his resurrection, we know that he spent 40 days teaching them even more. And when the Spirit was outpoured on Pentecost, there came more teaching and more understanding. And surely the Lord deals with us in a similar way. There are many things we wonder about, things about which we would like the Lord to fill us in. Some of those things will have to wait until we have our glorified bodies and minds. We're simply not able to handle them now. Remember that in this world, no one can see God's face and live. It's too powerful. It'll kill us. But in the new creation, as we heard in Revelation 21, it says, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. And in chapter 22 of Revelation, it says, They will see his face. That's talking about us. To be sure, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. But notice what Jesus does give us now by sending the Holy Spirit. Namely, he gives us a complete revelation of all that the triune God has decided to make known to human beings. He promises when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Spirit takes what is spoken in that council of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that eternal council of the three persons of the Trinity, and he makes it known to us in such a way to glorify Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is talking to the disciples gathered in that upper room after the Passover meal. These are the men who would serve as apostles to bring the word of the Savior to the nations. These are the men who, with their associates, such as Paul and Luke and the brothers of Jesus, these are the ones who would bring the written word of God to the church. Jesus promises that they will be guided into all the truth as the Spirit takes what the Father and the Son have and declare it to the apostles. So that means that we can trust that from the lips of Jesus himself, we can trust that the New Testament scriptures are a complete and trustworthy revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. What the Spirit says would glorify the Son of God. The scriptures glorify Jesus. They point to him. He is the Savior, and there is none other. We cannot save ourselves, not even in the tiniest portion or to the tiniest degree. It's all the work of God through Jesus alone, his obedient life for us, his death under the curse of condemnation on the cross, his resurrection that guarantees complete forgiveness and salvation to all who believe in him. It's entirely the work of God, the Holy Spirit, that we can know God and believe in his Son. The Father, through the Spirit, has produced a change of heart in us. He turns us away from our sin and guilt to Jesus as the Savior from sin. No one can take away the joy that we have in the Lord because it is the joy that comes from the Spirit of truth. Excuse me, the Spirit of truth who is active in us when we hear and read the words that these apostles were inspired to write. No one can take our joy because we know that this Spirit was sent by Jesus to declare the things that are to come. For example, it was the Spirit of God who caused John's description of the world to come to be recorded in Revelation 21 that we heard today. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We have joy that no one can take away, because even though many of our questions are currently unanswered, we know the answer to the big eternal questions. Jesus is the answer. It's enough to know that he has the answers to these other questions. No one can take our joy from us because it's the joy given by the Spirit of truth. And no one can take our joy from us because it is the joy that must follow sorrow. How do we know that sorrow must be followed by joy? Well, if we are people who belong to the risen Christ, then yes, joy must follow our sorrow. When Jesus is talking, he says, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. The disciples couldn't figure out what he was talking about, but we get it because we know what happened. The next day, Jesus is put to death on the cross. He's talking about his death and about his resurrection. After a little while, the very next day, the Lord Jesus was brutally murdered on the cross, his body laid in the tomb where it rested on the Sabbath day. It lay hidden for a little while. They didn't see him. They wept, they mourned, they lamented. But after a little while, that is, on the third day, they did see him. Just as Jesus said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. On the third day, when he began to give them many convincing proofs of his resurrection, their sorrow was forgotten and complete joy took over. And that's the way it is for all who put their hope in the resurrected Christ. All the Easter people, your sorrow will turn to joy. Just as Good Friday turned into Easter. Death was followed by resurrection. Sin and death had their day, but that day came to an end when it was swallowed up by life. The devil had his way, but only for a short time. Now that the very death of Christ, instigated by the devil, followed up as it is by the resurrection of Christ, has spelled eternal defeat for the devil, so it is for those who trust in the resurrected Christ. Sorrow will be turned to joy. Jesus gives another example from daily life. He says, think about a woman who's giving birth. She has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now. Good Friday must have been horrible for the disciples. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Listen to the experience of women who have given birth to a child. When the time for the delivery comes, the labor pains come, and they come more quickly and with more severity as the time gets closer. But they will end, and they will be forgotten when the anguish of labor is swallowed up by the joy of the birth of a new human being. And that's how it is with the troubles in this life, dear friend. They come and go in waves. And sometimes the waves seem so frequent, so severe, we wonder, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to hang on and keep the faith through yet another wave of pain? Well, this is how we get through it. Jesus says, your sorrow will turn to joy. The joy that I have given you cannot be taken away from you. One time, an elderly Christian man, very faithful man, was near death, and outside the hospital room, members of his family were gathered together, his children, their spouses, the grandchildren. They were watching and waiting. And one of the daughters-in-law said, you know, this is just like waiting for a child to be born. How true! The troubles we face often get worse and more challenging as we approach death. But remember the words of Jesus, our sorrow will turn to joy. When that dear man left this world, he went to be with Jesus in paradise, better by far. What joy he experienced. And as we think of them, we can have joy as well. And yes, even our bodies are sealed for the resurrection on the last day, when restoration and joy will be complete and perfect. No one will be able to take our joy away from us. And here's one more thing. No one can take our joy away from us because it is joy unlike anything the world has to offer. Jesus told the disciples that when he would die, yeah, they would weep, they would mourn, but the world would rejoice. That's how twisted the joy of the world is. It kills the heaven-sent Savior and then rejoices. When the world rejoices, look out. Is it joy that will last? Yeah, we have a whole industry designed to entertain people and make them smile and laugh. But how much of it is real? How much of it will last? So much of it is actually destructive. But this joy, the joy of Easter, the joy of the resurrected Christ, will last and last and last. It comes from the Spirit of truth, not from the liar and deceiver. It's not mere pleasure, that is here for a second and then results in pain and sorrow. No, the joy that Jesus gives is true joy from the Spirit of truth. It comes from the resurrected Christ. It's joy unlike any joy that the world offers. Rejoice, dear Christian, rejoice with joy that can never end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The hymn of response is "At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing." Let us pray. Lord of heaven and earth, in the glorious resurrection of your Son Jesus, you have given the promise of our own resurrection. As we await the last day, calm our hearts and strengthen our faith through our sorrows. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you have fashioned the church as a heavenly bride for your risen Son. Grant her your Spirit, that she, your church, may always listen to his deathless voice and ever declare his message of salvation and joy that can never end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, lead your people in your love. Guide us in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone. Make all our households places in which your wisdom and grace are found. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Lord, you hold all people accountable for the responsibilities that you have given them. O Lord, bless our president, our governor, the Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates, all who enforce and carry out the laws. Guide them to serve according to your will and for the common good of all. Raise up those with heroic virtue who will defend our liberty. Protect those who defend us in the armed forces, even as you give peace to the nations. And we pray particularly for the people of Ukraine, that you would give relief to the suffering there, and that you would give wisdom to the leaders of all the nations of the world to respond to this horrible tragedy, and that you would turn to repentance the hearts of all who are plotting and carrying out evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Alpha and Omega, you pledge to bring all things to a perfect end at the last day. You will bring heaven to earth and banish sorrow, sin, and death. Sustain and help all those who are now in their tribulation, times of difficulty. Brad, Andrew, Kurt, Paula, Wayne, Jeff, Becky, Elaine, Deb, Gretchen, Douglas, Sarah, Jim, Mike, Matthew, Bill. Heal them all, O Lord, if it is your will. Enable their joy to be complete and full as your children through faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, bless those who carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth and among us also. Help us in love by word and deed to reach out to inactive members. Bless the ministry of Lutheran schools, especially Unity Lutheran, our mission project in East St. Louis. Also TSJ, that you would provide a suitable teacher for us. And Christ our Rock, O Lord. And help us as we bring the gospel into the correctional center. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, point the family of Lewis McQuaid to Jesus, their Savior. You, Lord, who conquered death and the grave, and give them relief and peace and even joy considering your victory and the life you've prepared for those who call on your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Father, be with our eighth grade graduates who are finishing their time at our school, and grant that the things that they've learned, especially the good news of Jesus, would stay with them all the days of their life, and that they would continue to grow in faith and knowledge. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Father, thank you that in holy baptism you have been our Lord and called us into your family. Bless Spencer, John, Addison, Kelly, Orville, Grace, Trudy, Patty, Brittany, Dawn, and Linda. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, thank you that in holy matrimony you give us a picture of Christ's love for the church. Bless Ralph and Sue and Tyler and Courtney as they consider your goodness to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we wait for the second coming of your resurrected Son. Grace, grant us patience as we long to see him. And even now, give us joy at his presence with us through word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own, and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 And the closing hymn is Jerusalem, My Happy Home.